Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, here we go. 11 o'clock hour on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley is in for Cody this week and part of next week as well. Good to have you guys with us on a Monday. I struck a nerve with golf fans. That's all right. That's all right.
I guess so, you know.
I get it. We don't have to always agree on stuff. I've told you, I am by no means claiming to be some big golf guy, expert, or anything like that. I thoroughly enjoy watching the Masters and some of these other majors and give golf its props when warranted. I did not enjoy the U.S. Open. That's all. That's all. All right, we'll get back to that maybe now that I know that people are very passionate about it. Maybe we'll do that a little bit later on in the show. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Social Service text line, 913-586-7965. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 17 minutes or so, but let's get right back into the Royals. We led the show, of course, talking about this 0-6 homestand. They've lost 6 straight series at home. They're on an off day today before they begin a road trip to Texas. And what has to happen? What do you do at this point in time if you're the organization? But something that I think we all have done as sports fans in our life, and whether you're texting with your buddy's bank or you're on Twitter or we get texts into the show, whatever, everybody loves to play a blame game. Everybody does it. We all do it as sports fans. Oh, it's this person's fault for something. So let's play the game a little bit here, because I've gotten 3 or 4 texts already on the show. It's Q's fault. Someone else texted the next text, and it was JJ Piccolo's fault. It was X player's fault, whatever, right? So if I break out the 100% of the pie here, where do you put the blame? And for me, I tried to break this down, and ultimately it lies on the players. I think for the most part, most reasonable fans understand that it is a production and results-based business, and the players are most responsible for that. I think we're on the same page there. So I went with 55% of the blame of where this offense is at, and I'm talking just the offense, by the way, is on the players. In fact, I almost went higher, because that is who has to perform. We know, you go through the lineup, the name, we all know the names, right, that you were counting on, Salvi and Vinny and Bobby in India. Now, Vinny has played much, much better. He's been great since the month of May. But we know those guys overall have not lived up to what you needed them to be. And that's a big reason why you're in the spot you're in offensively. So I put 55% for the players. The next biggest chunk was coaching staff / hitting staff. I have a separate category for Q, by the way. But the hitting staff, Alex Zumwalt, etc., 25%. And I almost put that a little bit higher. I only have 100% to spread around, though. So I went 25% on the hitting, 55% players, 15% JJ Piccolo. He did assemble this roster. We all know the outfield and what they went into the regular season with. So he, of course, has to take a nice chunk of the blame for where this offense is at. And then I went 5% for Q. I just don't believe managers have big of an impact on the game as everybody likes to make it out to be. You know, a year ago when the team was great, he was just lucky. This year, it's all his fault. So I just, that's what I'm led to believe based on texts and tweets. So 5% on Q doesn't mean he's perfect. Of course not. Are we going to be frustrated at times with his decision? Absolutely. But he has been consistent with the analytical approach. You can say he wasn't consistent with Noah Cameron. We're going to talk about that in a second. But I think it is very clear under Matt Quatrero, they go off numbers And if you want a manager that's going off feel and emotions and all that, that is not your guy. That's not who he's going to be. And that's not who he was, I guess, advertised to be. And he has been as he has been as advertised, honestly, in my opinion. I put the blame at 5% on him with this offense. Where do you break it out? And you guys tell me on the text line if you were to break out the 100% out of players, Q, Piccolo, and hitting coaches.
I put players at 65% because I do believe, you know, strong indicators how the players are performing. You know, they're the ones up at the plate. They're the ones making the decision. They're the ones seeing, you know, the baseball leave the pitcher's hand, where to hit it, with guys in scoring position or not. So 65% players. I only gave Q 5%. Yes, I had a problem with the Cameron thing. Yes, I do. Yeah. But, again, I think baseball is different than football because I think coaching does matter differently in football than baseball. It's like you look at the Royals in 15. It was set through six innings, right? I mean, it's you basically say the lineup. A lot of people could have done it, right? And then 7, 8, 9 was done. I mean, anybody could have done it. So I think there's more coaching involved in football than baseball there. Piccolo, 5%. I understand he's got constraints, man. He can only do what he
can
do.
Should I have another category of ownership? Should we have that mixed in there?
Well, you could. But Piccolo, he only does what he can do. And again, it's tougher. That's why Dayton Moore
was
so tough.
Or would you just put it as front office instead of just sure. JJ?
Dayton Moore was the only small market guy since the explosion of television contracts to win a World Series. It's not easy to do. Dayton did. It is not a tough, easy job to do when you have different constraints. And I put hitting coaches 25%, obviously. I think
so you're at 20 as well.
That 90% there between the actual players and the hitting coaches. It's more on the players, 65% on the players, in my opinion. But I do think you change the hitting coaches around, that could help. But I can't put a ton on the front office, especially JJ, because he's only doing what he can do.
In terms of like the philosophy, I see a couple people texting
and his pitching
in.
Staff is crazy good.
There's a couple people texting in about like the philosophy. Whoever's telling Garcia to bunt, is that Q making those decisions in that moment, or is it more of what they look at analytically from in the philosophy from the hitting coaches?
I think in each circumstance is different, but sometimes we have to remember, especially with Q, they're never going to throw a player under the bus. So even if it was the player's decision, let's say in this hypothetical, to lay down the bunt, you're never going to, and nor should you, this is just how, I mean, it's never a good idea. You're not going to hear Q come out and say, yeah, it was Mikel's decision to do that. And you're never going to throw a player under the bus.
That's the reason why people didn't like Ned in the beginning, because he would always take the blame for the players.
Everybody
thought it was on Ned when he was taking the blame for the players.
Someone says 55% of it is on Cody's songs. Someone did bring it up. We can keep track. Since Cody's JAC song, they've won maybe one game or not won a game. Actually, they haven't won a game. They're 0-6.
They're 0-6 since JAC.
I've seen
Cody do a song and get a home run that day. Like, I've seen it work.
But then it has to...
evidently, it's not
working.
Same
thing with the Q stuff. When it's good, you don't want to give credit. When it's bad, it's all his fault. Cody doesn't just get credit for the songs. When it's bad, it's got to be his fault, too. You know? Well, JAC, 0-6. 0-6 since the song.
Someone says it's 100% on Q.
Okay, well, that's just not realistic. Like, tell me, explain, like, truly, explain. Someone says, no one is hitting direct reflection on Q's leadership. Again, I'm not saying he's not part of the equation. You cannot possibly truly think that 100% of the offensive lack of success this year is on Matt Quatrero. Can I ask you then, last year, when they had success offensively, and it was average offense, nobody's saying they were world beaters, but they were hitting in big spots. What was that? Then he was 100% responsible for last season then? Is that because if you're saying it's 100% on him now, then last year must have been 100% on
him.
Are
you going to give credit to this pitching staff being as good as it's been this season, even with Reagan's being hurt and stuff and Lugo having his issues and Bubic?
Yeah, Q has no reason that the pitching staff is as good
forever,
as it is.
The Royals couldn't develop homegrown pitchers. Well, mm-hmm. Bubic is an example of developing somebody.
Yeah,
Pitching staff's been great. Noah Cameron, this pitching staff's been great.
You can have a big chunk towards Q if you want. I disagree. No, you can't say 100% though. Like we can go through and have a conversation about the things that you may disagree with. But if you're not, I can't take it all that seriously. If you're trying to say 100% of the pie is on Q here, that just doesn't make any sense to me. That's all.
I just look at MLB managers differently.
In terms of how they affect the game?
Remember when Joe Torre was racking up all the World Series? Do you think Joe Torre actually made the biggest difference for the Yankees team, or do you think it was Jeter and those heaters and Bernie Williams and those guys? Of course, it was the players and not Torre.
You're right. I mean,
he just filled his lineup card and go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Matt Quatrero needs to hit a couple more home runs for this team.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Why does he put on the gloves, and grab a bat?
But his pitching staff has been crazy good. It was not lose sight on that.
I wonder if is our standpoint, because I'm with you, I think the players are there, is our standpoint from the solely, because to me, a lot of it solely falls into the reason I would put more percent on the players than anybody else in a significant amount. I'm more leaning towards Bink's side of things, or maybe even saying 70% of the players and less hitting coaches. It's just because...
Oh, I have the majority of the pie on the players, too.
They're able to hit, but it's just those... I don't want to say they have a lack of clutchness. I don't think that's fully true. It's just in certain moments where they have to take advantage, they haven't been able to take advantage for whatever reason that is. I don't know if it's a philosophy thing. I don't know if it's something that they decide on in terms of how they need to approach the at bats or if they're just simply not coming through. But they're doing a decent job of getting on base. It's just that we've talked about it before.
Well, there's only two
them driving in the runs when
better
they need
ERAs
to.
In the American League besides the starters. Only two teams better. That's crazy how good they are on what you should be able to win on, and that's pitching. You would think the other stuff would kind of come into gear, but being this good
at
pitching.
Well, yeah, that's the only reason why there's still only, you know, 2.5 or whatever it is out of a playoff spot. Them. Otherwise, we'd be discussing them.
And that's dealing with injuries and calling up guys like Noah Cameron. They're pitching crazy. Or Chris Bubich pitching the way he's doing.
Yeah, someone said they would put 85% on the players, 5% on Q and JJ and hitting coaches. So 5-5-5 across the board is how they would break it out. Yeah, I mean, that's actually probably a fair way to do it. No doubt, I think most people that are reasonable understand that this is a player's issue first and foremost, but they have made the player changes. So now that's why we started the show with, I don't know how you just keep your hitting staff intact and say, all right, we're just going to keep rolling this thing out there. That's why I think a change has to happen there. And then, yes, we can talk more about it, you know, over the next couple of weeks about where they're at in the standings as it relates to going out and making trades. I know Vern, I was listening this morning talking with Fesco and Dusty, and he was saying that they need to, I think the phrase he used was, you know, they need to drop the green flag now and go and make trades. Who is trading? And if you will cite Rafael Devers getting traded, I would push back and say that caught everybody off guard. That was also a player that was causing problems within the organization early this season because he wasn't happy that they wanted Alex Bregman, who's a million times better third baseman than Rafael Devers, to play another position, and he gave him a hard time for it. So I don't think we can just say now that Devers is traded, everybody's open for business. Maybe I'm off. Maybe that opens the floodgates and teams do it. I just, a majority, look at the AL standings. There's what, seven teams that are within three games of each other at least, if not more. And so I don't know who's really making the trade. You should be on the phones, and I believe they have obviously reached out to people, but I don't know who you're going to add to the lineup right this second.
I think the extra wild card makes everybody think they're in it because Eugenio Suarez is a guy people are talking about, you know, with the Diamondbacks. You could go out and trade them, but they're 3.5 games back from the wild card. You know, they're not having a great season in Arizona, but because this wild card is the way it is, you have to make your decisions in front office. Are we actually good enough to compete, or you don't want to throw the towel in because your fans are going, what are you doing? You're only 3.5 back from wild card. What are you doing throwing it in? So all these teams, unless your name's the White Sox, the A's, the Orioles, or the Rockies, all these other teams, they still think they have a shot, and that's the problem. But I will say this. As I said, there's two teams in the American League, despite the injuries, two teams with better ERAs as far as starters. Only three teams in the American League have a better ERA from a relief staff like the Royals have. I'm a big fan of windows in sports. Like, you have to cash in when that window's there.
Sure.
Like, there is no guarantee this pitching staff's going to be this good in the future. I doubt it is. I seriously doubt the Royals.
It's already starting to, I would argue.
It's eroding to some extent, but it's still right up there as far as the American League. There's only two teams starters-wise better with ERAs, and only three teams with relief pitching better ERAs. But it's the window, man, and you have to cash in. If you have this kind of quality of pitching, you have to put the players around. That's why I'm all for the Royals making moves, because you don't want to waste this window. You don't want to waste this window. You don't want to be the 49ers that paid Brock Purdy last pick in the NFL draft money, and you make it to the Super Bowl, and you could pay everybody else. All of a sudden, now you have to pay them. Now you're going to pay everybody else. That's a real problem. Again, sports windows. Can you knock it down? Can you kick it in? The Royals saw that in 15. Dayton Moore said, you know what? I'm going to get rid of five lefties, and I'm going out and getting Zobrist, and I'm getting Cueto. I'm doing what I can. I'm pushing all in. Billy Beane did it the year before with the A's. Didn't work out for him, but he still pushed all in. Dayton Moore did the same thing. He pushed all in, and he got it. You don't want to waste this pitching staff. Getting pitchers is the hardest thing to do in baseball.
Right.
That is the toughest thing. The Royals have the toughest thing already done. That's the frustrating part about it, is the tough thing's already done.
Yeah, I think the only thing with the 49ers analogy, I would argue, is You know, they were going to NFC title games. They were losing in Super Bowls. They were that close. And you're like, go make a move to finish this roster off. That the Royals aren't even. I'm with you that I would not mind them. Obviously, still, even at this moment, as bad as things look, they're only 2.5-3 out. I would like them to go and trade for somebody. I would argue I don't know who that player is that is truly available. But I would also say to me, they're not just a bat away. That's the problem. That's how bad things are with this offense.
Get one run. Who cares?
That's my only pushback on that. I hear you. Like if they were in the this exact same team was performing similar to last year. Then you can and you make an argument they're a bat away or this away. They're more than just a single bat in the lineup away. They could go and add whoever, Bink, Eugenio Suarez.
He's got three grand slams this year. That's sure, a guy yeah. that hits in the club. Incredible.
And he helps, there's no doubt. But I don't think Suarez just all of a sudden this offense is just going. You know, that doesn't mean you don't make a move. I would argue they're not one move away. That's how bad it's
five
been.
Runs, man. Four to yeah. five runs with this pitching staff, that's good enough to win.
Don't yeah. you think in order to get where you're talking about going, though, Bink, is that are you like what are you going to have to sacrifice to try to make it work this year? Are you risking if you're saying, OK, we have to take advantage of the pitching staff because we don't know what
it's
they're going
to be a run up player. It's not going to have to be a long term.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying if you go all in, do you risk or if it works, obviously you're geniuses. But if it doesn't. You could really have problems going forward if it doesn't, because you're sacrificing whether it's payroll, whether it's prospects, whatever the case is, who just aren't quite ready yet.
I think a lot of fans are split on this. You know, there's some fans that say, you know, they should clearly be sellers. There's other that think, hey, go and try to get this thing right. You have time. And people are split on that. I still think the whole selling part of it, like you, to me, if you want to be buyers, you start making that decision now. If you want to be sellers, that sorts itself out in 3 weeks. I really, there's a difference for me. Buyer, you make that determination now. Are we really going to go and try to improve this thing? Start making the effort to get those conversations going now. But if you're team sell, that's fine, and that might be where they end up. They just don't have to make that decision today. I said it on Friday, same thing, now June 16th.
I think your decisions are much different if this pitching staff is sitting middle of baseball, 15th or 16th. Yeah. They're sitting there. But when you're sitting there and only two teams in the American League have a better starting ERA, only three teams have better relief, you're like, okay, something's working here. You don't want to waste this window. You just have to understand what your window is. And you say, all right, this pitching, can we see this pitching being this good next year and the year after? Maybe not, man. Maybe Bubic isn't good next year.
Well, Lugo's
maybe,
gone.
Cameron doesn't.
Lorenzen's gone.
Exactly. So you got to strike when the window's open. And right now, this pitching staff's going to be just about as good as you can get with the Kansas City Royals as far as the pitching staff is concerned. That's why you got to consider yourself having a chance because they're so good.
We'll get to trash of the day in just a second. But I know you were texting with me last night, and fans are definitely I don't want to say stuck on, but certainly it's been a talking point. The Noah Cameron, one start, he's pulled after 80-something pitches. Another one, he gets to go 100 pitches. You're upset about this.
You know, here's the one thing about it. It's one thing for fans, you know, to hit Twitter or whatever and say, hey, why is he pulling Noah Cameron? Because there's certainly a lot of that. What kind of message does that send the guys in the clubhouse? These are the same guys that had a players-only meeting the night before. So they have a players-only meeting. Hey, guys, we got to turn this around and stop winning. Then you have a pitcher like Noah Cameron come out there, have seven strikeouts in a limited time pitching, on a roll, rocking. I mean, you need to win a game. That was a winnable game. You got to salvage something at home. And you have a pitcher that you took out that threw 102 pitches against the Yankees the performance before, and he had 83. That's the part you have to understand. All right, these guys just had a players-only meeting. That means they're serious. They're serious about winning. So it's not just the fan, you know, in row 10 complaining about Noah Cameron coming out. It's the guys in that clubhouse. It's the guys in that dugout saying, well, what are we pulling him for, man? We have a chance to win a game here. We just did that big speech last night, and we're pulling a guy on a roll? Why are we doing this? So forget about the fans. Think about the players.
Yeah, I know I'm going to be in the minority on this. This is just how they're going to operate as an organization. That is not just a Matt Quatrero.
I understand that, but why go 102 pitches and then just 83? Yeah. That part doesn't make any sense. I understand if you say 80 pitches is the limit. No, you know, and against the Yankees, you pull him out after 80, that's the limit. But because, when he goes 102 and then he goes to 83, that's where you have your questions.
Simplest way to answer that, I would say, because baseball's not the same every single night. There's so many different factors that go into it. It is not as simple as just saying by a strict pitch count, 85 versus 100. And it is never as simple as that. This organization, this is where I think the Q stuff gets a little interesting. The decisions, whether it's lineups, whether it's pulling a pitcher early, I think we should all recognize in 2025, especially literally in the last probably 5 to 10 years of baseball, front offices are way more involved with these decisions than people realize.
Oh, and you know, I 100% this, like, you, think that wasn't on him.
That's what I'm saying. Is like,
100% I think
people have
him.
To recognize this is an organizational type of decision, and you may not like it. That's how they operate. I'm just telling you, they are going to operate this regime. Matt Quatrero obviously included in that. They're going to operate off of analytics. And so if they are looking at the quote unquote odds of something being in their favor, they are going to go with the numbers more. Now, you can disagree with the philosophy, but if you're asking me why one day it's 100 pitches and why another day it's 85, it is because in that circumstance, whether it's a right-handed batter and Jacob Wilson coming up to the plate or a number 9 hitter coming up to the plate, the odds are going to look different, even if somebody's at 100 or 85. The argument and the issue, I think, true, if fans are upset with it, that means your issue with him, and this is fair, would be you want him to manage more off of feel and the vibes, you know, that's not how they are ever going to operate.
That.
And it means it's going to set yourself up for situations where it can backfire. And that's what happened, right? If the player goes out and performs when they pull him, then nobody's having this conversation.
I understand that, but you let him go 102 against a much better hitting team in Aaron Judge and New York Yankees than against the freaking Sacramento A's.
But that's not, the odds but, are not, the, not, the odds are not strictly basing it. It's not as simple as that.
But you have to look at the big picture, though. You're saying this team had a players-only meeting the night before.
Yeah, who
this
cares,
team
honestly.
Is desperate for a win where they have freaking Mark Canna speak. We're not pulling Noah Kammer. We're letting him go another inning. We're letting him go more.
You're acting like the players think John Schreiber sucks, though. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to say that the players
suck,
are upset.
I guarantee you, if you did anonymously with these players, how many of them were thrilled that Cameron got pulled from that game? I bet it's very, very minimal because they wanted to win that damn game. And they see Cameron
those players probably also believe that John Schreiber can help them win a baseball game.
But still, though, seeing Cameron pulled from that game probably pissed them off.
I'm trying to understand what you're saying. You're saying is things are so bad right now that you think, regardless of the way that they have done things, If it's analytics, let's say the analytics say that you need to pull him now. Disregard the analytics and go off of this guy's dealing right now, and we need to win a game, and we're going to try to, and I'm going to roll with this guy.
Look who he's playing, a 28-win team. This is not the New York Yankees. Oakland, Sacramento, Vegas, whatever you want to call them, A's. You know, you just had a players-only meeting. This team is desperate to get a win. But his homestand was going to be a losing again. One, six straight. There's a chance to win the game. I'm not saying go the complete game, which they used to do, but just another inning, man.
What you're saying is not crazy. I'm just telling you, though, that what you're once again, if you mention players-only meetings, that means we're talking about the vibes and the feels again. And that's not how this regime is going to operate. We could disagree on it, but I'm just saying, like, if you're asking why it happened this time or this time, why didn't they factor in the players only meeting? Matt Quatrero and this current JJ Picoult, this front office, they are not going to go off of the feels and the vibes. And you can make an argument that they should more. That's fine if that's your point. But that's not how they're up, and they've been consistent.
In that timing,
way, last
in that situation,
year,
yes.
They didn't do that last year.
Okay, in certain situations, I get it. Analytics, I get it. You don't want to burn the guy's arm out, I get it. But certain situations dictated this team needed to find a way to win a damn game. And they had somebody out there just absolutely dealing, throwing seven strikeouts in 5 innings pitched. And you're pulling him out after 83 pitches. I'm just saying, it's one thing. You don't have to worry about the fans, or you don't have to worry about us talking about the game the night before. It's the dudes in the clubhouse, the dudes that stood up and had a meeting the night before about doing everything we can to win a game. And then you have someone out there like Noah Kammer taking that to heart, saying, all right, here's 7 strikeouts in 5 innings. Oh, you're pulled from the game.
So then John Schreiber wasn't in that same meeting. He wasn't trying to go and win baseball
but
games.
Even he would probably say Noah Kammer should have pitched another inning.
Yeah, if your take is that they should rely on analytics less, then that's a fine point, but that's not how this regime, then you're asking for a completely different regime. That's not where they're at as an organization right now. Yeah. And last year, by the way, they operate, I just want to point out real quick,
at this point, they
operated the same way last year.
They needed that win.
And last year, they operated the same way.
Yep.
That's all.
But they didn't have players only meetings either.
Yeah, I think we're acting like the players only meeting is a much bigger deal than what it is.
But I'm just saying it just shows you kind of where they're at. Like, hey, we're done. We got to find a way to win. Let's go out. Let's scratch out. Let's do what we can. Well, Noah Kammer did his job and didn't get a chance to go any further.
All right, up next, we'll get to the trash of the day a little bit later. Good stuff there. I want to talk about the Chiefs, though, being with the Chiefs red half hour, what Rashee Rice said down in Texas and what his numbers could look like. And I haven't talked to you in a bit about the stadium situation. We know the governor signed officially that stadium bill over the weekend. So now what, with about 2 weeks to go till the end of the month? That's coming up right here.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here on Cody and Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
All right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley with you here on a Monday. It's Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder.
Can we take a timeout real quick, guys?
Yeah, let's do it.
Can we just take a minute here and just realize the NFL's close, man?
Yeah.
We're wrapping up mandatory minicamp this week. Then it's nobody get in trouble. Let's get to St. Joe. Just a month, man. A little over a month. Be out there practicing football, looking forward to the season. Football, man. Football is right upon us. We got college football coming up at the end of August. Then we have the National Football League. We get the Thanksgiving game. We get the Christmas game. We get glorious, glorious football.
You're looking ahead to Christmas. Look at Pink. Already looking ahead to Christmas.
We got glorious, glorious football right in front of us, man. Yes, we want our baseball team to be good. That's great. But, man, we have football, and I can just smell it.
You're going to be salivating at the mouth a month from now.
I can smell the fresh-cut grass when I come in the building, and I think of glorious, glorious football right upon us, man. Right here. It's right there, Alex. Touch it. Drew, it's right there, buddy. That's all.
I'll get excited once training camp starts.
Yeah, I'm already excited.
Should that be the social media clip right there today? Should that be it?
I mean,
should that be
go
the social media
it.
Clip?
Hey, man, I've already gone and got my magazines. I know it's outdated and old school, and Drew still does it because I know he does.
That's right.
I still go to Barnes & Noble, get all the football mags, College Pro, you name it. I still do that. I know I can look on my phone, look on the internet, but there's one thing to have that fresh copy in your hands, man. It's like having that nice copy of Phil Still, like in your hands, or the Lindy's College Football Guide. There's just something about glorious football, and you get to this time of year, man. And it really kicks in, man. It's like, we're almost there. Go ahead. I digress. I'm just excited.
I'm excited for the season. It's just I got to wait till training camp to get there because, as you mentioned, all the things that have to happen before we even get to the first NFL game of the season. Got a month in St. Joe before we even get there. Got a month till we're over a month till we're in St. Joe.
You have fun up there. You know, you do the snow cones and Chris Jones.
Yeah.
I almost wanted to ask you if you were doing okay, Bink, you know, after you said this.
It's right there, Alex. Touch it. I didn't mean that.
No, that's going to be a drop. Yeah,
that will be. As soon as I said it, I knew it would be.
Yeah. No, look, I'm excited, Bink. We'll get there, man. We'll get there. There's a lot of things that have to happen till then. But I'll be excited by the time we get to that point in time.
I mean, we're almost there, man. You and Cody every day sitting there in that tent just right there. Yeah. Jones coming over to practice and whoever he brings with you to interview.
I'm going to try to get Drew to come up a few times this year. Drew has not been to training camp.
I've not been here.
We have our football meetings coming up. And one of the things is going to be having Drew come up for one or two of those.
Okay. Drew needs to. It would open his eyes because deep down I think he is a Chiefs fan. He won't admit it on the air.
Well, I told him he needs
but
to
I think
watch
deep down. He's a Chiefs fan.
Alex and Cody insist on me coming to training camp because they want me to see what a championship training.
That's
camp.
What I told Absolutely. Him. I said he needs to see what a championship caliber training camp is like. Mm-hmm. Unlike his Cincinnati Bengals crap, they don't know what it takes.
They're changing
they have
things
to walk across the damn street like a real street with cars going on to get the practice.
Still do, yes, currently.
Which is insane that you have an NFL team walking across a busy street.
You know.
Yeah, that is.
It might also correlate into why their star defensive lineman is still not signed yet.
Oh, but they're talking now. They're talking.
Thank goodness.
Trey Hendrickson. Yes.
They're talking.
They have resumed contract talks. Right. All right, let's talk about those Chiefs, though, that have Bink already excited on June 16th for the start of this season. We mentioned earlier in the show Rashee Rice down in Texas was at a football camp. He mentioned how, hey, look, this is a team that is waiting to put on a show on offense, a wide receiver room waiting to put on a show on offense. We talked about it from a team perspective, but let's hone in on Rashee Rice in particular and really the wide receiver room as a whole, because I think, based on everything we've heard, he's ahead of schedule on the injury front. He's in great shape throughout his recovery process.
Best shape of his life.
You know, that kind of stuff, right? And I believe it. We have seen Max been taking some video and photos from going out to OTAs and stuff. And so make sure you guys are checking out Max's social social feeds for that. But as much as it was great to see Worthy come on late, and then I know people have the lasting image of the numbers he put up in the Super Bowl, I feel like people are talking themselves into, I know Cody has to a certain extent, that Worthy can have a better season or just as good of a season as Rashee Rice. And that would be amazing for the Chiefs. But I think Rice, if you believe Rice is going to be anywhere near what he was prior to injury.
If you say no suspension, yes.
I think Rice is going to have more yards than Xavier Worthy, unless Rice is suspended for 3, 4, 5, 6 games. Otherwise, even if he played one less game, I think he's going to have more yards than Xavier Worthy. He, to me, is clearly the number one wide receiver for this football team.
Rice is an alpha dog, man. There's nothing about it. This whole kid's career, man, it's give him the ball. When he was at SMU that last year before the Chiefs trade, he had 97 catches. The closest to him was like 55 or something on the team. I mean, he was far and away their dude. I mean, he's used to being the dude, and he was on his roll doing it this year until that injury in the Chargers game. But, yes, he was that kind of guy. They took a dart pick. And they went Rice because Veach, you know, hadn't had an opportunity to go get a couple receivers. I wish he would, but he hasn't. But Rice finished behind Puka as far as catches and yards. No other rookies had more than Rice. Like his rookie year, forget last year was going to be a breakout year for Rice. But his rookie year, he was only behind Puka in catches and yards. That's it. That's the list. Rashee Rice is ready to break out if he plays all the games.
Do you think, let's put the suspension thing aside for a second because nobody really knows how that's going to play out. The way it's trending, it feels like it's not going to happen because the court situation hasn't gotten settled. So that might be another year from now before you have to worry about that. But just knowing he's coming off an injury, knowing how he looked, do you think it's crazy to think he's a 1,250-plus yard receiver this season? I don't.
I don't think it's crazy at all. I think he was well on his way last year. I mean, the dude knows this offense. He's trusted with the quarterback. He runs great routes. He's great after yards after catch, something the Chiefs really love. Like, he's like the perfect fit for what they do. Like, he really is. Like, that is like the perfect piece for what the Chiefs are. And like you said, he's kind of taken over a lot of those Kelce intermediate type catches as well.
That's what it was.
He's like the perfect fit for what this offense is. That's why I think he'll excel so much.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing that still, I think, really took the offense last year down the path that it ended up, is that they all of a sudden had to ask Kelce to be that dude again. in that role. And at this point in time in his career, that's a big ask. And then you already were without Hollywood Brown from preseason. And so if they go into the season and they actually in week one against the Chargers, you tell me that they have everybody, you know, Kelce healthy, Worthy, Rice, Brown healthy, and there's no suspension, and they go into week one taking on the Chargers in Brazil with that room, that you mentioned being excited. That's what I would be excited to see. We haven't seen it. We have never seen Rice, Worthy, Brown, and Kelce on the field at the same time in a regular season football
game. Let me ask you and Drew this question. So Kelce is number two all time in 90-plus catch seasons.
Okay.
The only one with one more was nine, was Larry Fitzgerald, with getting 90 catches. But Kelce's got them all in a row because he had 97 last year. Can he tie? Will he get over 90 this year? We put him in the same echelon as Fitzgerald as the only humans ever to have 9 years of 90 catches. Can he get to that point?
Yeah, we were having a conversation, I don't know, 3 weeks ago maybe, just about the production expectation for Kelce. What do the targets look like? So if you're saying 90 catches.
He has lost 25 pounds.
How many? Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I think he's setting up for this to be his final year in the NFL.
Last
year, 133 targets. The year before, 121, then 152. Last year, on 133 targets, 97 catches. I think we see the targets dip down this year. I've been saying that. I think the targets are actually going to be the lowest they've been since his third year in the league or fourth year in the league. I think the targets are going to dip down to $120.
I think Rice takes a lot of those.
Like $115 or so, $120. And if you're only getting $115, you're right. I mean, that puts you like 88 to 92 catch range, and you're right on
it. It'd be nine straight years of 90-plus catches.
And if he's close late, we know they'll help him get there. Like,
I know against the Chargers, though, he stopped the streak of 1,000 yards.
That's fair. That's true. It depends, I think, what's clinched or not. That's fair. That's a good point. Yeah, he obviously chose the team over an individual stat. That's fair. I forgot about that. That's true.
I would guess no.
Man, that's a lot to ask, 90-plus catches. He's just consistently done it eight straight years.
Like last year was 97 catches, 823 yards.
But like yards after catch and all that was way down. It's like the last in the league.
Yak was way down. Yards per target was down. All of it. So I think this particular season, I have him in that, you know, 750 to 900 range, 800 to 900 range in terms of yardage, and that's on like an 85 to 90 catch range.
He's also a byproduct of the offensive line, like limited time to throw it, so he's a byproduct of that as well.
I think if Travis gets to 90 catches, if he gets more than 90 catches, then they're this exact same offense as they were last year.
So you think it's better if he has like 80 or 75? That'd be a low. Is, by the way, receptions would be his second year in the league. I don't even count that one, really.
I think the offense is more likely to be top three. If you were to tell me right now, if I were to just guess, like if Travis Kelce had, if you said the offense is top three, I think Travis Kelce has less than 90 catches.
See, to be top three, I think it means everything came together. It means Rice is blowing up, Worthy's blowing up, and Kelce has a 900-yard season, which means, if he's going to get to 900 yards, then I think he has, you know, that catch range of 85 to 90 or so. Because that's the only, like, if you're just saying they improve and they're a top 10 offense, then I hear you. But if they're like, to be top three, I mean, I think it would require Travis Kelce.
So I said eight, it's seven. The record eight, Travis is number two at seven, and Keenan Allen was six.
So he can tie the record, you're saying it.
He can tie Fitzgerald, but his are all consecutive.
Yeah, and you're right on the accomplishment thing. I think at this point he's shown it with his actions and fairness that if this is his last year, it's all about just winning a championship again. It doesn't really matter if he ends up with 800 yards or 1,000 yards.
Most consecutive, he's already got the record because that was Torrey Holt that was second. He's already the most consecutive 90-plus catches ever. It's just if you want to go total seasons, it would be one more to Ty Fitzgerald.
So it's been a bit since you and I talked about the stadiums, just you and I together on this. We've obviously been talking about plenty on the show, but the last time you and I were discussing stadiums, they hadn't even had the special session yet. It hadn't really got to this point where now we're a few weeks away from the end of the month, which is the star bonds will expire. They could extend them, though, right? Yeah. We know that's a possibility on the Kansas side. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed the stadium bill this past weekend. That was expected. That wasn't a surprise. He was the one that wanted it to happen.
That was a given.
So that's not shocking by any means, but it makes it official, right? And so now the information is kind of out there in terms of what each state is willing to provide or the funding up to. Where do you think this goes now? I've given my opinion on this quite a bit. I think that by the end of the month, we'll at least have some direction of where the teams are going. I don't think we're going to necessarily know where both exactly are going, because the Chiefs, if they stay with a renovated Arrowhead, they're going to need a Jackson County public vote maybe as soon as November to make that happen.
It will take a local vote for that.
Yeah.
And I think it will happen. I think it would have happened with the Chiefs if they were separate as far as last election. I think it goes a little bit different. I think the Chiefs stay. The Royals, unfortunately, I can see them over in Kansas. Where I think things end up, Alex, to be honest with you. I think the Royals end up in Kansas. I think the Chiefs stay where they're at.
And what is that because you think the Chiefs can handle a public vote and the Royals just would?
I think the Chiefs can. And I think I think people got a real good learning experience about the whole thing, because there's a lot of people. I remember sitting here with Bob that day, you know, the vote and everything going out because they just got their property taxes raised and everything else. And everybody was against anything of spending money. And when they saw the reality that all of a sudden these teams could move, I don't think they're so worried about them moving to a different state, to a different location, but just to move across the border, when they actually saw it being a reality, I think that sunk into a lot of people like, wow, they're serious. We could actually lose these teams.
That's my thought on if the Royals had, let's say, if the Royals make a decision to go to Kansas and then the Chiefs are then pushing for a renovated Arrowhead, and they go to a public vote, I'm with you that I think some, I don't know if it's enough, some voters would think what you're thinking, which is, well, we already lost the Royals to Kansas, can't lose the Chiefs. I think that works for some. Is it enough to make up? I guess you would need an 8% swing, right, on the vote. They won by 16% on the other side.
I just think people view the two franchises differently. I do.
Yeah, but is it a bank? Would
I think
you,
with the Chiefs constantly in the Super Bowl, three of them here with Mahomes, I think it's just different.
If they were separate, do you think that people would have been okay with the upgrades just being the parking and then all the suites, which a lot of people who are voting are not even going to be in?
Oh, I think they still really like the tailgating, which won't change. I think they enjoy that. And fixing up the stadium to some extent. I know the Chiefs want the whole ballpark village type thing, too. I know they've been enamored with SoFi.
That doesn't come with the renovation.
Oh, I know. It doesn't. So that's a big concern there, because you're not going to get all that or the hotel outside the stadium.
You think they'd be okay with it as long as they just get to say we were keeping the Chiefs in Missouri?
Well, they'd still have a baseball team. That's one way I think they'd look at it. They'd still have the Cardinals. But they'd lose the NFL. If the Chiefs lost, this state would not have an NFL team, which is crazy. The population difference between Missouri and Kansas, and then not have an NFL team in your state. Like, that's insane. Like, I'm shocked the vote was the way it was, even in Missouri, even though it did pass. I'm surprised it wasn't more overwhelming. Like, you do not want to lose a professional team.
You're talking about the vote in the Missouri Senate or House?
States and counties fight for NFL franchises to move their state. This is a major thing to have a team, especially a good team, playing in your state. You would think they would, Bartlett's keep the team in the state. So I'm a little bit surprised it even went to that. I'm glad that cooler heads prevailed and they are getting the funding to do it. I think the Lamar's dream, I think he liked being in Missouri. I think he liked being where he's at. Now, do I think the franchise putting the dome out there and stuff like that? I know there's a talk about doing that. Can you lure the Super Bowl and things to Kansas City? Can you have your ballpark village? All that would come with the new stadium. There's no question about it. But I do think there'd be a strong push for them to stay where they're at. I think that when it all comes down and shakes out, I think the Chiefs stay and the Royals leave. But to Kansas.
Yeah. Well, that's always been the thing. I know before we get a million texts on it, of course, there's clear economic issues if one team leaves.
But I think people believed in the reality. Yeah. I think they just took it for granted these teams are always going to stay there, that they're going to get their 1% earnings tax on everything that happened at those stadiums, which Luke Combs, whenever he comes to sing, that's 1%.
Yeah.
Where are you coming up with that money? Like, I never heard anybody make that argument. I heard all these arguments, but I never heard about the 1%. Because Mahomes, they pay 1% of their salary for that day. In Yankees, when they come to town, Aaron Judge, all that, 1% of his salary goes to Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County. Like, never did I hear where they're going to recoup that money. Because that is money leaving that county.
No, there's massive economic impact if one or both of the teams leave the state of Missouri. No, I think that's very, very clear. But going back to what you were saying 40 seconds ago or whatever, I was just going to say that, yeah.
You might just end up with the Cardinals and the Blues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Because even the MLS team plays in Kansas. Mm-hmm. I think St. Louis has one, so.
Do you think we know by next month?
I hope so. I'm glad gambling passed.
They delayed that as long as possible.
Do we know when that's actually happening, Gold? People have texted about it.
December 1, potentially a few weeks before that, but December 1.
Oh, yeah,
December 1st.
So we don't have to drive to Kansas?
For those in Missouri, no.
We'll drive to work.
So maybe by Chiefs playoff, maybe by playoff time.
No, by week, December 1, what is that, week 14 of the NFL season?
It'll be right in time for the college football playoffs and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But you won't
Not
have
that
it during.
It matters to you, but.
You won't have it during the baseball season.
That's tough. You will be able to bet, though, in Arrowhead, it sounds like, if that stays true, then December 1. Live betting in Arrowhead.
Man, be pretty popular. But I know that whole allure of having, you know, the hotels and the, you know, all the things and the shops and the restaurants. That's alluring. I'm just shocked that's never worked out where it is, being on 435 and I-70. Like, I know it hasn't. It's
that's
not
a much bigger conversation. That area is obviously not growing.
I'm just shocked that area didn't develop, because we've seen all these other areas develop like crazy.
Yeah, that's why, for those, like, somebody texting, why wouldn't they just build the Dome Stadium on the old Kauffman site? It's the very reason you just presented there, because they're not going to have the new development in that particular spot. But like most people, I'm ready for them to make their decision and be done with this thing.
Oh, 100% ready for this.
Just be done with it.
Let's move on and
move forward, right? This has been
like the Bills are like, we're putting it in Capella, Highwater, we're building a new stadium, and they did.
Yeah. I think the people are clearly very, very passionate about it. And, you know, if you're on the Missouri side, you don't want to lose a team. If you're on the Kansas side, you're excited about maybe the potential of getting one of these teams. I'll say it for the millionth time on this show. Growing up on the Kansas side, I've gone to Missouri for sporting events my entire life. I don't care if I have to continue to do that.
But
would it be nice to have one of the teams?
It became a reality check, don't you think, for a lot of people? Like, you know what? They're serious. They can move.
Maybe, but there's some people that don't.
They're not going to move, and then all of a sudden they're going to, and it's like, whoa.
There's a lot of reasons why the vote failed last April. Some of it was, what you said. But there's also a ton of people out there that still will, no matter what, will say, hey, they don't want to use public money for stadiums. We know the reality of the system that we have in the United States with stadiums is that that's how this thing gets done. And if you're not willing to go that method for financing, unfortunately, teams leave. We've seen it time and time and time again. We're fortunate that we have a state line. So while you might be upset if a team leaves Missouri and it's an impact to your municipality there, and it's not a good thing in that regard, they're not leaving for a completely different region. That's the fortunate thing we have here. We're not talking about KC Mo and then they're leaving for Portland, you know what I mean? That's not what we're talking about here, thank goodness. In fact, they even leave at all. But I'm kind of with you. I think one leaves, one stays.
Yeah, I'm on that board with the Chiefs staying and the Royals leaving. But that ballpark village may work. Be a stretch, but I know they want that.
The original idea for the Royals was a downtown stadium.
I mean for the Chiefs, as far as having the ballpark village and everything around it.
Yeah. It's weird calling. I can't call it a ballpark village when we're talking football. It's throwing me off. I think ballpark village. I think Royals. I can't call a ballpark village for the Chiefs. It's throwing me off anytime we say that.
You still have a lot of stuff out there with that space.
Would you rather them build a dome or rather them have Arrowhead renovated?
I'm outdoor guy, so I understand.
I think you're the majority.
The dome and getting the Super Bowl and stuff. I'd rather see it outside.
Yeah, a retractable would be the way I would go. To me, best of both worlds. But I totally understand.
And you can have all of it if you have a retractable roof. Like a dome doesn't.
Different cost, I think, is probably part of the problem.
I mean,
that's why the Bills didn't do it, because they went cheap on it because they get a ton of snow out there. They even had games canceled because of snow. Not doing it a dome.
I'm just thinking from the comp to Indianapolis in terms of Super Bowl, Final Fours, everything. They have a retractable roof and it's never been an issue. So plus it looks cooler than just a regular dome.
A lot of these places with retractable roofs, though, they don't even open them up. It's ridiculous. There's a lot of these places. They end up keeping the roof closed anyway. They don't open it up as much.
The translucent roofs, where it's the open air on the outside.
It's not retractable, I still think Minnesota, if you were asking me just to model off of any stadium, the Viking Stadium with the way that the sunlight comes in during a day game and it doesn't look like it's an indoor stadium is amazing. Yeah, I've been to Allegiant as well, but I think the way the light comes in at the Vikings, what is that, US Bank Stadium, I think it's called.
Mm. I like the way they can roll turf in or the grass, and they play both surfaces.
All right, up next, guys, let's get to what's trending, then we'll get right back into the Royals and a winless homestand, plus what should take place today on an off day. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.